Let me encourage you, those who are really serious about your Christian life, read the scriptures to see more of Jesus Christ. That's the most important thing. That's the way to grow spiritually. Eternal life is to know Jesus Christ, to know God and Jesus. That's the definition of eternal life. And the more I get to know God and Jesus, the more I have of eternal life in my... And the more I have of eternal life, I'll tell you, it'll be very easy to overcome sin. Be very easy. The more you have of eternal life. The reason why fighting with sin is such a struggle is because you don't have the power to overcome it. You're just using the resources that ordinary people have. Willpower, determination, New Year's decisions, and these things don't help. We need the mighty power of the Holy Spirit communicating eternal life to us, and eternal life comes through knowing Jesus Christ, knowing God. And if you come to the scriptures in order to know God, to know Jesus, you'll have eternal life that makes overcoming anger so much easier, overcoming dirty thoughts so much easier, to walk away from internet pornography easily, and to overcome bitterness against somebody. It'll be easy to forgive people. And it'll be easy to be free from the love of money and the love of honor. And fellowship with Jesus will become precious. And that's what the devil led Eve astray from. So that's the tree of life. Passionate devotion to Jesus. That's eternal life. And that's what the devil turned Eve away from. And that's what he's turning Christians away from. And that's why Paul had this tremendous burden. I have a passion, he says, a godly jealousy that made him use strong words. Not only to the Corinthians, even to the Galatians, he says, "You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you've turned away from love for Jesus?" We don't hear such preachers today, and I'll tell you why. Because we don't have preachers who passionately desire with that same godly jealousy that their congregations should have a fervent devotion to Christ. We have people who tickle people's ears and they don't want to offend anybody, don't want to hurt anybody. Paul wasn't like that. He loved people too much. He loved people too much. That's why he's willing to hurt them. It's like a doctor who loves a patient so much that he cuts open his stomach no matter what the pain is, no matter how much he screams, he says, "I'm going to get that cancer out of your system." Paul told Timothy, be a preacher like that. We need to hear more of that. The second thing that helps us to love Jesus more is the knowledge of how much he has already forgiven us. Luke chapter 7. And verse 47. The one who is forgiven little loves little. The one who is forgiven much loves much. It's a law. Luke 7:47. The one who is forgiven little loves little. You know, the Lord said there was a creditor who, a certain moneylender, had owned. He gave 500 denarii to one person and 50 to another. He forgave both of them. Who will love him more? And the Pharisee said, definitely the one who was forgiven more. He said, that's right. And he says in that connection, the one who is forgiven more loves more. I mean, if somebody forgave you a debt of $10 million and somebody forgave you a debt of $2, there's a bit of a difference there. Sure. And that's the picture here. The one who's, he's forgiven me so much. The one who's forgiven more, Jesus said, will automatically love more. Now, let me ask you something. Do you really believe you've been forgiven little? I mean, God kept me from so many sins in my life, but the closer I've come to God, I'm amazed at how much He forgave me. Because I see little things which I never even realized were sin before. And I can see how Paul, towards the end of his life, said, I am the chief of sinners. I mean, if he said, I was once upon a time the chief of sinners, we can understand that. But how does he say at the age of 65 in 1 Timothy 1:15, I am the chief of all the sinners? That was not a grammatical mistake. It's absolutely true. And I never understood it fully till the closer I've come to the Lord, I've come to see that there's a thing called unconscious sin. See, most of us are aware of conscious sin. Bitterness, complaining, grumbling, murmuring, anger, telling lies, lusting with our eyes and cheating and all that other stuff. That's 10% of sin. There's another 90% within us called unconscious sin. You know, selfishness and little bits of pride and seeking our own and a lot of things which we don't even take so seriously. And then there are what we call the sins of omission. The things that we did not do, which we don't even call a sin. When was the last time you confessed a sin of omission? I'm pretty sure that is probably many years ago. Committing sin, we confess readily. Oh, I'm sorry, I did that, I didn't do that. But when was the last time you confessed a sin saying, I didn't do that? You know the story of the Good Samaritan? There was this man beaten up on the road and a priest and a Levite went by. What was their sin? Did they kick him? Did they spit on him? No. Their sin was they did nothing. Can you commit a sin by doing nothing? That was exactly the sin of the priest and the Levite. They walked by that man, they did nothing. That's what I mean by sin's omission. So when we get closer to God, we see a massive, huge list of sins of omission. For example, the Bible says, encourage one another daily. One of the biggest sins of omission. Do you encourage your wife? Do you encourage your husband? I know you didn't slap him or slap her, that's okay. But did you encourage him? One is a sin of commission, the other is a sin of omission. Perhaps you do ask forgiveness from God if you got upset and yelled at your husband or wife. But what if you didn't encourage her, encourage him? We don't even dream of that as a sin. But it is. Encourage one another daily. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12 and 13. So I see that the closer we come to God, I'm not trying to put anybody on a guilt trip here. Don't misunderstand me. I'm just saying that the closer we come to God, we see a whole lot of things which we who thought we were so spiritual, we suddenly discover we're not so spiritual as we thought we were. Because we've been comparing ourselves with others. We are better than them. We are like the Pharisee. I thank God I'm not like that publican there or the people in those church there or some of these other half-hearted people who come to church. I'm not like them. Lord, I thank you. I'm a little better. Till we come close to God. We come closer to the Lord and say, oh Lord, I'm the chief of all the sinners. And then we realize how much we've been forgiven. We never compare ourselves with anybody else thereafter. We say, how much I have been forgiven. And what's the result of that? One who's forgiven more loves more.